Passion, drive, and patience. That's the formula for winning championships and is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. They have superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and much, much more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, they've got it all. eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber and not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Let's keep your ride or die alive today at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
And I believe we have stars in our sport, but they will never get seen because you've got that mentality looking over their shoulders. Keep doing you, I'll keep doing me.
The following is a production of Dirty Mo Media.
Hey guys, welcome to Actions Detrimental. I am Denny Hamlin, driver of the number 11 for Jacobs Racing. And moving on to the round of eight, my co-host is...
Jared Allen, Purple Vest Guy 560, also moving on to the round of eight as a NASCAR photographer.
Do y'all have a bracket or something? I mean, or just,
no, you know, just drivers that we're associated with.
You just hop on the coattails.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're like, you know, you're going, I'm going with you.
Yep.
I love it. Awesome. We'll get into the playoff field here shortly, but some off-track stuff. We always kind of cover that a little bit. First, before we get into the race today, it is tonight, right after the race, there was a 2024 schedule released. I looked at it. I feel probably the same as others. It was very underwhelming. And then there were some moves by NASCAR in the playoffs that I didn't agree with either. I didn't see many that thought this was a good idea in the spirit of competition. But this is just kind of a... When I saw the schedule released, I'm like, clearly their objectives and the teams and the drivers' objectives are different. When I looked at it, I'm like, from a corner's perspective, I'm like, holy cow, like, you know, we got two Super Speedway races and the Clash. We've got to travel here, got to travel there. Just... really, really hard on our people. This is really hard on our people. It's really hard on, getting our equipment ready for the start of the season. I know in particular with 2311 moving into a new headquarters in this offseason, we're going to be working nonstop, but hopefully the reward is we've got a better place to work. I looked at kind of the schedule. Obviously, I don't even know that they really put the fans first that much. I mean, putting Atlanta in February.
It's going to be cold, right?
Yeah. I guess the rationale that we got from the guy that made the schedule, Ben Kennedy, was that, you know, the Daytona 500 is a type of race.
I didn't even think about that. That now you have Daytona followed by Atlanta,
by
two super speedways.
Right.
I didn't even think about that part of it.
So you agree with that rationale that the common fan tunes in and is like, wait a minute, this is totally different. So you would rather, you see that aspect of it, I guess, is what you're saying.
Yes.
That it works into the other types of tracks that we're into. It's not full-fledged super speedway racing, but basically is.
Yeah, you're saying you disagree with that.
No, I agree with it.
Oh.
I just think that they're grasping for straws on...
I don't think that matters. Although...
I agree.
Although, if super speedway racing is what attracts the average fan, or maybe someone who doesn't watch NASCAR that much, and you watch the Daytona 500 and you come back the next week and watch a boring race at Phoenix or wherever mm-hmm. we typically are. Now you're getting to watch probably an exciting race at Atlanta.
Okay.
So maybe that draws you in 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah. I
was thinking about it from like the team owner standpoint, how you said now you're going to go crash a car 2 weeks in a row.
Right.
And go total.
Yeah. Cars. And my people too, that have to travel out to LA for the Clash, Daytona. It's a little bit better now that we don't go right back to the West Coast. So that part of it is better, but you know, car count and whatnot, with you only getting a certain amount of cars, you certainly can crash a lot pretty quickly. You know, but then just scroll through the middle of the summers, whatever. I'm trying to make sense of this, and you help me make sense of this, because I see this as one way, and I need you to, Travis and Jared, to tell me why I'm crazy in thinking this. Putting Daytona as the last regular season race,
I thought we were all
was
on
the
board.
Best thing we have done in a long time with our schedule.
I agree. No, I 100% agree. I thought we were. That was the first thing I saw looking at the schedule, is that Daytona was not last. I was like, wait a minute. I thought we were all in agreement that this is great. The regular season finale finishing in Daytona was one of the best things NASCAR has done.
Yeah, I mean, it just gave everyone, right, 25 races to point your way in. And if you just ain't going to get there on points, you got that one race at the end.
Everyone has a chance.
Try.
Yes.
Right? And then you got the bubble people like, holy shit, I hope someone new doesn't win. And now, I don't know. I just can't make sense of the change of not just moving it out from the regular, but moving it 1 week. I guess what explanation, you know, again, I'm just using Ben Kennedy's media availability here to try to rationale with the thinking of this, is that, well, Labor Day weekend at Darlington means a lot. Who gives a f*** about that? I don't get it. Like, they're putting emphasis on, like, that people really care about, I'm going to Darlington because it's Labor Day weekend. No, you're going to Darlington because you live in the area and you like NASCAR racing.
Right.
Yeah, I'll say, as like a new fan, I don't care that Labor Day and Darlington go to, like, it doesn't bother me as a new fan. I don't give anything about it.
However, can I say this?
Yeah. Or are you going to be devil's advocate? Because I need it. Because
people with normal jobs have off on that following Monday, right?
Okay.
And this race is at 6 o'clock and ends at midnight.
Okay. I see your point. I see your point. Yeah. I mean, I think about it.
Is
now,
that
my kids get to go to that race, and I am wondering, and I usually stay the night after the race because it's so late. And I guess you're right. They don't have school the next day.
And this weekly schedule is kind of f***ed up because of the Olympics.
So stupid question. Why not just run it Saturday night then? Why does it have to be Sunday?
Yeah,
it doesn't fall on the same date every year. It's just Labor Day weekend.
Yeah, you could.
Okay.
So mess up the Xfinity scheduling?
I don't know. It's just, I scratch my head and I bang my head against the wall sometimes because think that NASCAR makes decisions to, you know, make a very small crowd that maybe it seems loud on social media or something. I don't even know. That ain't this problem. But they just adhere. It was like, yeah, we're going to make changes because our fans want blank. Like, what fans are you hearing or seeing? I don't.
Let me throw out another one. Saturday night for NBC would be college football that weekend, where the NFL probably hasn't started yet, so they want that Sunday night.
Okay. Well, it has become abundantly clear to me then we have too many f***ing races. We're trying to fit this schedule, and it's got to start here, it's got to end there, and we're trying to jam 38 races into what should be 32 at the most, We're never going backwards because NASCAR makes way too much money per week. But it's clear that we have these scheduling problems because we have just too many weeks. Way too many weeks.
Right? I mean, your season is now ending a week later because of that Olympic break.
So we're running from beginning of... I tell casual people that how long is your season?
Is even shorter.
How long is our season? I usually say from Valentine's Day to the week before Thanksgiving.
What?
Like,
and that's not accurate.
It used to be, will be next year.
Nope. It starts the first week of February.
Oh, I know. I thought you were talking about the back end.
Oh,
I know. I've just been hedging. On the later, I tried to give them a point of reference, right? I hate saying February 1st, but like...
Your season starts February 1st. Why don't you just say that?
Because I don't look at the dates, right? I'm just saying, for being in this series for 20 years, yeah. I just say, it's Valentine's Day to a week before Thanksgiving. That's our schedule. It's like, well, when do you have off? December. Because they start us right up with media first week of January. Like, it's just the schedule is just a toll. It takes its toll on everyone. It's taken a toll on my mental health. Clearly I am unwell when I look at this schedule. I haven't even got into the fact that they added another road course and another super speedway to the playoffs.
At least it's in the first round, whereas if you win five races in this regular season, you're probably going to get through regardless.
I don't know if it's the carbon monoxide that I took in today that is making me feel this way, but I'm just telling you, I don't get it, and it makes me question who's making what decisions when we make these decisions, because they clearly keep pushing the envelope into let's make this as novelty as we possibly can. We will, I saw a stat online that says that the winner of the, you're going to love this, the Winston Cup was the guy who had the lowest average finish nearly every year except for Mark Martin, and somebody else. So 95% of the time. In the playoff chase format, I hate using chase because that's gone. That was a sprint thing. Is that twice has the best overall competitor through the year actually won the championship? It's all been just someone kind of swooping in at the end.
Yeah, I mean, not to get off.
It's
felt right more or less for the last handful of years.
Where was Joey Logano for 20 weeks last year? He won the championship. I bet if I asked you right away who won the championship last year, you'd be like you would scratch your head for a second.
Right. But the way I look at it is if you get to that final race and one of the guys wins, you can justify being the champion, then it's all right. Like the time that was really bad.
I'm not saying there hasn't been deserving champions. That is not what I'm saying at all. Because if you make it to the final four, you got a shot. I get it. I'm just saying you have now added more. You are not testing the driver's skill as Ben continued. We want to test the drivers. That is such baloney. They're testing how good our luck is. Because as we've said a billion times, that when you go to super speedway racing, it's not you that typically messes up. It's someone else, and then it involves you. And that's not your fault. You were running, you were doing what you were supposed to do on that day. So I'm just saying when they add this in, like it just feels like they're like, we're really grabbing at storylines. We need to knock some big names out early. That's going to be our storylines. That is not good for the sport. Period. It's not good. Format nearly knocked out Truex in the first round, nearly knocked them out again. And not nearly. Well, we'll get into that. His car is no longer in the playoffs, by the way. 19 cars out. Truex is in. 19 cars out. That's a that's a chink in the armor that you might hear that story in the Final Four at Phoenix. But I listened to Jeff Gluck do his an emergency podcast on the Teardown about the schedule. And when he went off, when he talked about putting Atlanta as the first race in the playoffs, I mean, that 30 seconds to a minute, I share those exact same feelings. And it feels like I must be going crazy, because am I the only person that sees that they are just continuing to make this gimmicky and more gimmicky every single year? We just want to throw all these. I mean, they might as well have us run backwards in a figure eight. You know what? The champion will be whoever's got the biggest balls who doesn't lift in a figure eight race. That'll be our champion. We might as well. What's frustrating, right, is I say this more as I say this equally as an owner and a driver, because I invest a lot of my money back into this sport, and we try to run well, and we try to put fast cars on the racetrack to get results. But when you put these, what you know are tracks that the drivers, you're not seeing their skill. You're just seeing who comes out of the carnage. That's what they're doing, right? They're not seeing, man, this guy just beat everyone today at Talladega or the Atlanta. No, they just survived the carnage, and then they made the right move at the end. It just seems like NASCAR's objectives and our objectives as a team, my objectives as a driver to try to be the best I can be at all types of racetracks, there's just an element that you cannot control. Luck is a bigger part of our sport than any other sport by a large margin. And they keep increasing that margin year after year with the decisions they make in the playoffs. Or grasping. And it drives me crazy. We keep grasping because there's been nothing from TV ratings that supports these wild moves that they keep making.
See, there's your key argument.
Right. It's not, they're not getting the bumps they're hoping for. So the actual core fan, in my opinion, starts to see through this and say, you know, I see it. You're not even secretive anymore about what you want, right? It's just agitating because we work really hard to be the best we can. And you just feel like, you know, we've shifted the line from sport to entertainment way too far to one side. That's kind of my rant on it. Listen, the rest of the playoffs is all fine. Yeah, I think that, you know, we will eventually get to, you know, probably the right Final Four, maybe. If your favorites that have dominated all season don't get knocked out in those first couple, there will be. It's just that's numbers. That's the way it's going to happen. Then we'll just try to survive. I think that's just as part of it. But you know, I get it. It's a rant. We're not going to do anything to change it. Every year, it's just going to keep getting roguer and roguer. We just got to deal with it. This is the sandbox that we chose to play in. It's what we're talking about today.
For what it's worth, this is really a good spot to mention this, because it feels like we're coming down a little bit from your heated rant. But I can't remember who it was. Someone had said that Watkins Glen in the summer sells very well because it's a destination for families to go on vacation. Mm-hmm. Now it's in September where kids are back in school.
Mm.
Are you going to have as many people camping on the weekend?
I don't know. There's always a cause and effect to everything.
Like,
I love the spin of, oh, this is great. And it depends on what radio show you turn into. But like, it's great. I see exactly why they made this move. But 90% of the people who actually are in the sport see through it all. We see through it all and see that a lot of the moves we don't think is going to be favorable. You know, it's like short-term bumps, most time lead to long-term failure. Like, we got to just get everything a little better versus trying to reset. Let's reset the score in the bottom of the ninth and let's put everyone on base. And it's what it is. But I agree with you when it comes to Watkins Glen. It's hard because I keep trying to steer off on this tangent again, and you were trying to reel me in a little tighter zone here. Let's talk about Watkins Glen. I agree with you. Watkins Glen's a very young infield. When you go through there, they pack it out. They do a phenomenal job. I don't know. We don't know what the...
It was by no means broke.
No. Now, the on-track...
Quite the opposite.
Maybe.
But putting it in the playoffs isn't going to fix that.
No. So it's going to be, you know, a lot worse. You know, it just depends on what happens between, you know, listen, they're not going to add more horsepower, not going to take, you know, grip out of the tires. So basically it's, you're going to see a lot like we did today. No one's going to be pitting. Everyone's going to pit before the stages, and then you're going to run wherever you're going to run the rest of the race. Not much movement after two laps on a restart. So, it's a struggle. The short tracks are a struggle. Road courses are a struggle. There's no secret to that. But yeah, so Watkins Glen, welcome to the playoffs. Listen, they're a deserving facility. They again, like Jared said, they pack it out. They do it right. Atlanta, absolute head scratcher. No explanation whatsoever. We don't know what goes on between SMI and NASCAR. We don't know. So who knows how that ended up happening, but it did. And now Darlington's your regular season finale. There will be no shockers there. You're not going to have an upset win at the Southern 500. I do see the aspect of it where the Southern 500 deserves its own weekend because it is a big race. It's a big major. Should it be part of the first round of the playoffs too? Maybe I get that argument, but... Last regular season race, not sure. I think Daytona was the perfect place for that. What else we got?
Well, yeah, I
really wanted to have about a 30-40 minute podcast today, so let's get to it. Is Coke Zero Sugar the best Coke ever? I know that's a bold question, but it's got that irresistible taste to back it up. Well, one thing's for sure, when you've got an irresistible match like zero sugar and zero calories, something sensational is bound to happen. It's like when me and my co-host Jared team up to make a podcast. It's too bad you can't taste with your ears because Coke Zero Sugar tastes so amazing, it's hard to put it into words. But hey, that's my job, at least on Mondays. You have to taste it for yourself. Coke Zero Sugar, the best Coke ever.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast. Selling a little or a lot?
Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Well, while you're on your soapbox, this is good because that warms you up for this next topic, which is Jeff Gordon's comments. A quote from his 2-minute-long clip that was posted on Twitter this week. Let the sponsors market you. Let the sport figure out how to market you. Build your brand through who you are on social media and be the best that you can be. He was referring to you and that he thinks you are a bit too controversial for your liking. While he applauds, you know, and gives you kudos for building your brand and the alter ego that you may be playing, he does not want any of his drivers doing that because he thinks it's a distraction.
Hmm. He's saying is that I like it, but I don't like my guys to.
That's what my takeaway was.
Well, that sounds like a guy I don't want to go to war with. He's like, hey, I'll go to war, but you get up front.
Right.
I mean, Jeff Gordon said that? I mean, that is how to stunt NASCAR growth 101 is say, that's too controversial for us. Call us stiff, but, you know, I'm wondering how has his sponsors marketed his drivers? Because I think his drivers have great personality. Anybody know? No? I haven't seen much either. So he wants me to sit back. He's not. He's saying he likes it, just not. He thinks it's a distraction if it was on his team.
Right.
Well, thank God I don't drive for him.
How's it a distraction, though? This isn't like
football. Has he been watching a race in the last 12 weeks?
Well, it's not like football where, like, if you're the quarterback, you say something and, like, they're going to go talk to the receivers. Like, they're not interviewing your pit crew and, like, asking you about you saying you're going to get white hot. Like, I don't see how it's a distraction for your team. I don't get it. I'm confused.
I don't get it. And I'm confused as well. That's why I'm asking.
Well, he did reference going into like how do you go into a competition meeting with that type of persona, right? That could be a distraction. Clearly, it's not a distraction.
What is a distraction? That I'm getting booed?
All of it. You stirring the pot, things like that.
I go in Monday and I'm a professional because that's what professionals do. They go into a meeting and they act professional. I think he's been to one too many Burning Mans.
And also, if I'm Mavis, I'm happier. You're creating all this news because guess what? Car's being shown pre-race a bunch.
He's going against the logic that he said 12 months ago, that he wants his drivers doing more things, and he's basically saying I want them to be tidy, not controversial.
Win races.
Yeah. I couldn't disagree more. I'm glad I drive for Joe Gibbs Racing. I'm glad I run my team the way I run my team because I will never run my team saying things like that. That's his opinion. He's allowed to have that opinion, but certainly think that is the absolute wrong way to go if you want star power in the sport. You're not going to find anyone that agrees with what he's saying.
For what it's worth, the majority of the comments on Twitter actually are disagreeing with what he says.
Yeah.
And correct me if I'm wrong, didn't him and Dale have this beef that helped grow the sport? Wasn't that a distraction then?
You're being too logical, Travis. Just don't put facts in a good story. But yes, it was. Obviously, he has not seen the 11 cars' performance lately. Today is a small bump in a road. But hey, we did what we came to do. We kneeled it on third and long instead of Miami running a play.
Do you think it's easier being as outspoken as you are this late in your career versus the?
It drives me crazy. No one else has got the balls to be honest, you know. And it's not the driver's fault because they've clearly got white collar standing over the back of them, making sure that they don't do it. Like, that's not good. That is stunting growth. That is stunting star power. And I believe we have stars in our sport, but they will never get seen because you've got that mentality looking over their shoulders. Keep doing you. I'll keep doing me.
The Roval. Race reaction. You advanced early on. I guess that's a good thing because you didn't finish the race.
I mean, I really wanted to flip both stages. I really tried to talk Chris into that because I knew we would battle for the front. I mean, all the guys that were up front there at the end, we were racing with the first two stages. But man, we wanted to leave the racetrack with something. We wanted to go into next week leaving the Roval with something. And what we thought was going to happen, and
what is something?
Like a playoff point.
Okay. So a stage.
So either win
the
race or win a stage.
Right.
That's either 1 point or five. Because we're resetting all these points all over again anyway.
Yeah.
Right. So
did you realistically think during this race that either of those was in the cards?
We were gonna win stage two. So we were battling. So as you saw, the 9 car was about to pit
right
from the lead in stage two. So he knew, Mike, you know, Gabehart knew that he was pitting. The 20 car, he knew that he was going to pit because he was going to flip the stage as well. That leaves me.
Okay. So the 20 car was also coming to pit.
And if not, I was on his ass about to make, you know, if we both stayed out with two to go, like, it was going to be a good battle because I just ran him down really, really quickly.
Right.
So I think it just worked out crummy to where that caution came out. And there was only like 6 of us that had stayed on the racetrack and we all went to. I came off pit road and I looked, nobody behind me. I was dead last. I ended up finishing there anyway, but it was like I just knew that the day's over. You're not going to finish. I mean, remotely in the top 15 at that point, unless there's extra cautions and whatnot. So it just, we wanted to leave with something. We didn't because of that untimely caution. We were going to win stage two, and then we were going to finish way back in the pack anyway because we were going to go for that 1 point. But it didn't work out. But, you know, talking about some of the guys that did work out for Tyler Reddick, he was able to go through the field somewhat when he had a tire advantage. I watched the last 25 laps of my bus and he went nowhere. Clearly the fastest car early on. And then you just put him in dirty air and no one goes anywhere. I mean, it really showed at the end of the race when I thought with 10 or 12 to go, a caution came out and it was like, man, surely there'd be more. It'd be more cars that pit, and nobody pitted because I was thinking, oh, this is good for Bubba because he pitted under green waiting for a caution, but then there was nobody that pitted. He still was able to drive up. I got to give kudos to Bubba, and yes, let me be a homer here. He did a phenomenal job this weekend. Qualified up front, stage points both stages, which is hard, by the way, because you're going to have to come back to the front. And drove back up to 16th. So I thought it was one of the best road course races, probably the best road course race that he's driven. just came up short. You know, it was just not having any playoff points going into the playoffs. It was always going to be stacked against him every round he started anyways. But I think he, man, the maturity he showed during that weekend, the great interview he had after the race, just being, you know, very matter-of-fact and respectful and very humble. Great job by Bubba and that team, even though they are not moving on. 45 team, they were down below to start the day. They dominated early and knocked Keselowski out. So we got Keselowski's out, Bubba, Chastain, Busch. And any surprises for you there?
No, although it was interesting at the end of the race that Kyle Busch was battling for the race win. And that would have really turned these playoffs on their head because you had Truex, yes, Larson, and Reddick, I believe, were all within four or five points.
Right. I was watching that too. And I was like, and I was telling the people on the bus, I was like, you know, man, if Kyle wins, I'm looking at, and there was like five people within two or three points. I'm like who would get knocked out would be, we could have a major favorite be knocked out. It could be Larson. It could be Truex. It would have put this whole thing upside down. But yeah, it didn't. I think Kyle gave it really everything he had. They've been top five material most all the road courses this year. But you heard in his interview, he said, you know, this is about what we had, right? And I agree with that. I think he drove it to the absolute limit of what it was capable of, and it had nothing else left in the tank. So, you know, his playoffs end, and he even mentioned that, you know, Talladega and Texas are the ones that really caused this to happen, not this one weekend. And I agree with that. Chastain, he gets knocked out. It was interesting. I was watching him at the end of the race because he was making tons of moves towards the front. He pitted like Bubba did, you know, hoping for a caution, got it, and then he drove through the field really, really well. And again, he had 20-some lap advantage on tires, but he was making it interesting because I kept watching the bubble, and it was like, well, he's minus 27. Next thing you know, he's like minus 13, 14. I'm like, man. You know, Truex at that time, he is just struggling. He is just like trying to keep it on the racetrack. And I'm like, man, then he got Busch battling for the lead. You know, certainly a lot to look at there. And but there was no real surprises, I guess, from my standpoint out of this round.
Yeah, I think the change in the playoffs is what most probably predicted going into it, that Reddick would jump Keselowski. If there's going to be any movers between those out and those in, that was going to be the switch because of how well Tyler runs on road courses and how Brad has struggled a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And, you know,
and certainly after the race started, Brad had a penalty and he had pulled over a few times for a stop and go. So,
right.
Not all that surprising.
Yeah, and you know, he hasn't been all that strong on road courses this year. You would say he was kind of the weaker of the, you know, kind of bubble guys or the guys, you know, plus or minus that whole group. He had been kind of the weaker of that group. He was the most vulnerable, I guess you could say, and obviously that vulnerability caught up to him. You know, when you got the guy right behind you to start qualify on the pole, and you know he's gonna win a stage, it's right. Going to put tremendous pressure on you to go out there.
In a way, you're already down.
Exactly right. Yeah. I mean, I don't. And then you look at the Talladega wreck, right? I mean, now he caused it. So,
yep.
You know, that certainly ended his day and put him in that vulnerable spot. But, I mean, I think we got, you know, tough eight guys out there. And
what do you make of. Thank you. Stop and go penalty for Bubba after he gets spun through the bus stop. Like, do you like that rule? Do you think that needs?
Yeah, I mean, if you change it, I agree. He got the crap end of the stick, and most people that get knocked into a situation where they didn't make the corner because they got knocked around, mm-hmm. it's a double bad deal for them. But it's what happens for sure. That was a bad deal. Daniel just blew the corner and hit the two, and the two hit A, and A hit B, and C spun out. Like, it's just a ricochet of cars when you get down in there and someone misses it. It just causes complete havoc, and Bubba obviously got the tail end of that deal. So that was unfortunate. And then you saw kind of it was interesting, the Seabell and Suarez. I wondered, because I was like, man, that kind of looked egregious. But I did see a lot of highlights as I was sitting in the bus and they're showing highlights of the race before it's over. I'm like, I saw two or three instances where the 99 just kind of used up all the space and ran into the side of, you know, that guy or this guy, and the 20 kept getting the short end of the stick. And it's like, surely he's not going to, you know, he probably had the mindset, I'm not going to run into him and deliberately take him out, but I'm just going to, you know, not, I'm not going to, you know, spare any space here and there. Right. It was interesting. Seabell asked, he's like, did I touch him? It's like, yeah, just a little bit. So destroyed the 99, knocked him out. But again, I think that it all works out in the end. I think the 99 had a tough day for others. He made it tough on other people's day as well. I'll tell you one thing. One thing I learned being back there in dead last place after that stage is, sheesh, guys back there, holy moly, they running into everything. I mean, it's amazing they're willing to just crash your for 33rd. Like, they're just, I don't know. I was certain that Ricky's car caught on fire from the tire lockup, because he locked up tires every single corner. I was following behind him, and it was just a smoke show every corner. I'm like, surely something caught on fire and roasted that car. I'm only joking, because he was laughing in a tweet. So he's taking it casual, I'm taking it casual. But that's not a casual situation. This car burned up. Unfortunate for that team. They got to pay for whatever happened there. And I know NASCAR tried to, we've had this problem before, and who knows what happened. Could be rubber, could be debris, could be something. We don't even know. It's hard to speculate. But yeah, it was, it's different racing back there. And you got, you definitely see some correlation to the ones that spin out and wreck the most. You can see how it happens for sure. It's wild. But anywho, what else we got? We got Eric Jones. I think Stenhouse got him. I think Stenhouse got Eric Jones. He was in the middle, got Eric Jones through turn two right there, and then McDowell came crashing in and got caught up in it. But that's roval racing. Not much else you can say about it other than that's the roval. That's why we love it.
I thought, not to go back to the schedule thing, I thought the roval was out based on Dale Jr.'s comments. I thought once Dale Jr. hinted at the roval might be gone, I was like, it's gone now, sure.
I loved when Marcus Smith was like, you know, it's unlike any other sports facility that you can see. You can see the round track, and then you can come watch it in a stadium. It's like, wait a minute, doesn't Indy have that? Doesn't Daytona have that?
And aren't their tracks a little better?
That's what we should do. Go run the Charlotte dirt track. Or we could run that little quarter mile right outside turn three.
Yeah, what if you can connect it all? You go down through the tunnel,
there's a way
track to the quarter mile, come back through the tunnel.
I bet you they could find a way for us to do that. That'd be great. I think surely there's a way we could run all three tracks in Charlotte and put on a great show for the fans. You could have seating inside the stadium and outside. You could choose to sit at the dirt track or sit at the quarter mile.
Wow.
So many possibilities. Wow.
Experience the thrill of the racetrack like you're in the driver's seat with DraftKings Sportsbook. Bet on your favorite racers and feel the rush of every pass, pit stop, and victory like never before. Right now, new customers can turn $5 into $200 instantly in bonus bets. Bet $5 on anything to score big, no matter what goes down on the track. The stakes are high as the round of eight kicks off this week in Las Vegas for the Cup Series. With so much on the line, make sure to tune into Dirty Mo' Dough as they handicap the field and recommend bets to watch. With props, parlays, and more, there will be action to follow all race long. The racing action doesn't stop till the checkered flag drops. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and join with code Denny. New customers can bet $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets. That's code Denny, only on the DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. For state-specific disclaimers, check the show notes. 21 and older varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. See dkng.co/autoracing for eligibility, terms, and responsible gambling resources. Bonus bets expire 7 days after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply.
All right.
Is your outlook on the... You predicted the Final Four earlier this year. Is your outlook changing now that you know who the round of eight is?
My prediction was me, Truex, Byron, Larson.
Yep.
Is that what it was?
Yep.
Well, that's chalk right now. Those are the guys above. I don't know. I mean, it'd be hard to argue that... do I think us four will make it? No. I think there'll be someone in the below that will have a good, solid three races or they'll win. But it'd be hard to argue that the top four in the standings right now are not the top four in performance for the year, right? I mean, just maybe not in the old Winston Cup format, but I'm just saying, you know, just how they're running. Who's a threat? You know, who are your favorites every single weekend? That's pretty much it, right?
Recently? I mean, Truex has not been a favorite recently.
I know. There's something in my gut that just feels like Truex is just going to fucking turn a switch on and then all of a sudden be Truex.
I
keep waiting.
I asked you this question because I'm most curious.
But he said in his post-race, if you listen, he was like, now we finally get to some freaking tracks that like...
Yeah.
We can control our destiny. We know what we got. You would say that about Darlington too, but they had an off weekend there.
Right.
But I still got tons of faith in him and that team.
I'm asking more specifically about a guy like Tyler Reddick. I'm not sure that anyone necessarily predicted that he'd reach the round of eight, but I mean, we go to a few tracks here, one of which being Homestead. Looking at his career finishes at Homestead in the Cup Series, they're very good.
Mm-hmm. Tell me more.
You tell me. I mean,
I agree.
I think he's a guy now that you need to be worried about in this round of eight.
I certainly think that. Oh, I am. I've said all along. I consider these guys competitors.
Right.
You know. Yes, they drive for me, but you know, I always want to grasp the goal closest to me, and that's to be a Cup champion. Now, I can achieve that this year. I can be, you know, I got plenty of time to be a championship winning owner. So I'm rooting for them to finish second, not to win. I do. I think they're going to be tough. The racetracks, I don't know how it lines up for him, but he's fast. I mean, what can I say? I know their cars are fast. It's going to be tough. I think it's going to be, I think it'll be who has mistake-free 3 weeks.
Right.
And well, of course, you're going to have a couple lock themselves in at least.
I mean, typically the narrative when we get to these round of eight races is that you're going to have to win one of them to get into the Final Four.
Yeah.
Points.
You're always going to have one get in on points, obviously, because right. There's three races, four spots. But yeah, you have to really be good, and you have to be good all three. There is no, unless you're going to win, you're right. There's no mulligans now. You got to be on kill these next three. I think it lines up great for us. We'll see.
Vegas next week. Anything in particular?
No. I look forward to Vegas. I don't always practice well there. Certainly don't always qualify well there, but I always race well. It's like, that's my Kansas. That's my Kansas 2.0. It's Vegas. I don't know what it is about the racetrack, but it just seems like it takes me a day to get up to speed there. And I think we'll be good. I do. Mile and a half's been great. Where are we at after that? Homestead, right?
Homestead, Martinsville.
Yeah, it's a good track. I mean, do I feel as good probably as Larson or Reddick at Homestead? No, I don't. But I feel like I can be kind of the next, you know. Do I think that I'm just going to go there and start running the wall? Good night. Do I think I'm going to start running the wall as good as those guys? No. But late race restart, we're on the bottom. Could pass them and win. So I don't know. I think that I think it's going to be a shootout. It's going to be very close. I think it always comes down to Martinsville, that, you know, what happens at the end of the race. But I think this year in particular, with this group of eight, while the favorites are up at the top now, I think it will be hard for all four to do it. They've got the advantage, but there's just always someone in the bottom that wins a race that you didn't plan for.
Yeah. Looking at Reddick, I think he's the one who could be most likely to do it at a track like Homestead.
I mean, Bell did it last year in Martinsville.
That's true. Yes. That's true. Are you bringing any friends to Vegas? Are we going to have any good social media content in Vegas?
We always do. We go to Vegas a day early, enjoy the sights and sounds and the bells ringing in the lobby and all that stuff.
Be scooters this year?
Yes, there will be Ronnie hats and scooters. Yes.
Okay. Yep. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Back it up, Terry.
And speaking of Vegas, Dale Jr. and friends, this Friday.
Ooh, this Friday.
Tickets still available. DirtyMoMedia.com/live.
Will not be
good plug there.
This will not be shared publicly, correct?
No,
Travis?
Yeah, this is not being posted anywhere.
Mm. What time is it? Vegas time.
I believe it's 7 Vegas
I'm
time.
I'm guessing it's an evening.
You can Google it or just go online. Still time to get tickets for Dirty Mo Live. Dale Jr. and friends, head to dirtymomedia.com/live. That's where you can find the answer and where to purchase tickets if you're interested. Review from Cooper the Mega Fan. My son is a huge fan of Denny, and he finally got to meet him at Talladega. He stopped to chat and take a picture. Denny could not have been more awesome. Great experience and great podcast.
Appreciate it. Thank you for that review. We will continue to read those out each week. So thank you. Appreciate you tuning in, and thanks for tuning in this week. We will see y'all post-Vegas. We're out.
Check out Dirty Mo Media on Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram.